Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 127, part 1. So you think you've got a problem. Today is Friday, December 25th, 2009. Merry Christmas. A special guest, Pastor Don Hastings. You're going to love his message. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, as you know, is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why do I say that? No boundaries. Even though we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue, located at 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. And if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us, write this down, 612-521-4665. Call between 1 and 3 p.m., Monday through Friday, and register your household for monthly groceries. Don't be shy. We have lots of food and a lot to give away. So call us again, 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. Register your household for monthly groceries. And by the way, Pastor Paul is the person you will be seeing who will be giving you lots and lots of food to take home. So be sure to come down. And if you don't need groceries, we can always use your help. Call us up. Go online. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations, or you can volunteer your time. So give us a call. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at the blog. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. When you go to the blog, you're going to find interactive links that I leave to scriptures within Pastor Paul's message, so you can follow up when you're finished listening to the message. You don't want to try to scramble through your Bible while you're listening to his message. You may miss something, and he speaks fast. Can I say this? Pastor Paul's messages are the best. And if you are one of those who are listening and you're getting a lot out of his messages, you need to tell other people about his messages. That's how I came to find out about Pastor Paul's mission, about Pastor Paul's work and everything in North Minneapolis by hearing Pastor Paul on the radio. And you'll hear him refer to the radio audience quite a bit because his messages are recorded some 20-some years ago, the ones we're hearing today. But when you listen, and I'd like to hear some comments about this on the blog, make a comment about this. Is it true that Pastor Paul's messages are just timeless? When you're listening to his messages, you're not thinking that it's 25 years ago. So be sure to write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, and you're going to find all that information in the show notes. The month of December, let me run through four messages. Joy is our duty. My garden, his garden. Actually, that one we've already heard. I'm taking these in order, though. So you'll be able to go to online, go to the audio page, and you'll be able to stream that or download it yourself as just a message, my garden, his garden. So we're going to skip that. So let's start over. We're going to go with joy is our duty. The second one is to know and not to know. The tender grape. And so you think you've got a problem. I like that one. Okay, so those are the messages for the month of December. Lots of stuff happening in December with the holidays. Be sure to tune in to the podcast. You're going to get a lot out of it and be blessed. Thank you for joining me. God bless you. Have a great holiday season. And what is the secret of the holidays? The joy of the Lord is your strength. God bless you.
The name of this message is going to be, So You Think You've Got a Problem. And you can subtitle it, You Probably Do. And Lord's been kind of showing me a lot of things lately, just as a Christian, also a leader, different leadership things. So we'll start with, if you want to follow along with your Bibles, if you have a Bible along, feel free, because I'm going to be digging out a few things here. And 1 Corinthians 10:13, this is going to kind of lead us off here. It says, No temptation that has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Let's do it one more time. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Three things are being said there. When I was praying for the Lord to give me a message, I wanted to give a message of encouragement. And I just pray that I know He's going to do it today. It's going to be encouraging because right now I think a lot of Christians and the world in general is getting into kind of an isolation thing. And isolation comes from when you have sin in your life or you're tempted, like the Word says here, and you think that it's not common to man. You think maybe you got your own sin. You think maybe you stumbled on something that nobody can help you with, not even God. And you back off into a corner and you isolate yourself. And you think, oh man, nobody can understand. This pastor won't understand. My wife won't understand. I don't even think God's going to understand. And you alienate yourself. Okay, and this message is going to be talking about pulling folks out and getting yourself out of that hole. Because every one of us does it. How many people can relate to what I just said about crawling off in a corner, right? You have a sin. Maybe it might just last for an hour. You know, I'm not saying that this turns into a real heavy thing, but sometimes it really can. It can turn into something that people just drift off for a long time in a corner. And the problem is they think that they've got a problem, and they do, and they're afraid to confess it, or else they're afraid if they do confess it, they're going to feel so that the pride keeps them from confessing it. Or maybe they think, well, if I confess this, man, it's just going to blow my whole walk. And they're afraid even to bring it to God, you know. And, of course, God has already found us out. But that's the things we go through. So, first of all, the sorry part about it is when we get into that kind of thing, we alienate ourselves from the body of Christ. See, the devil likes, you know, like even in the war they teach, separation and, divide and conquer, right? Even in the war, you get these few guys off here, it's easy to finish them off, and it is the whole thing, right? Well, the devil loves to do that too. He likes to take one guy, get him off to the side, work on him, get him down, pity, this and that, nobody understands, nobody loves you. Pretty quick, the guy, Christians, forget him, the guy's out the door, right? We've seen it happen. Everybody in here probably knows a few friends that have went through that and have felt that way maybe yourself. And the first thing to remember is what you're going through is common to man. Okay, no matter what kind of a sin you're out there, maybe somebody out there has went through a thing, maybe they shot up heroin, okay? There's been somebody else who shot up heroin, right? Maybe somebody out there thinks they got some kind of a lust thing that nobody else has ever stumbled on. Don't give yourself that much credit, you know? Don't give yourself that much credit. You haven't, you know, I think we can almost get into a pride sometime in coming up with how much sin we have developed, you know? It's like a Well, my staff has developed a sin that nobody can cure. You know, it's like we come up with these things that we think nobody can cure. Remember, it's all common to man. It's all common to man. And when you say that, when you acknowledge that, and it makes it a little easier to sit down next to that other guy instead of going way off in the corner, or vice versa. When you see that guy who's in a sin, then you're not so apt to judge him. Think like, oh man, he's really different from the rest of us. I mean, he's really into sin, you know, and you want to get away from the guy. And second, it says, back to Corinthians again, it says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. And then the payoff is, but with the temptation, you will provide the way, with the temptation, will provide the way of escape also. See, through that trial, there's an escape. That's what everybody wants to cash in on. They want to cash in before they get the escape, you know. They get into the thing, and I got it, now what do I do with it? Ugh, you know. And that's what we're going to try to touch on today, try to get the point across. And right now, I think, is just looking beyond our church, you know. But right now, Christians are being challenged. Okay, Christians are being challenged. They're being challenged from pulpits, and they're being challenged, I think, just in the urgency of the time, just the nature of the day and age, right? I think there's a challenge out there for Christians to really give out the gospel, you know. And the thing that I think why the Lord brought this on me is because when you're tied up in sin, or when you're tied up in alienating or isolating yourself, you're not a real effective minister of the gospel a lot of the time, right? I'm not saying the Lord can't use you, but when we tend to isolate ourselves and get detached, then you're not real effective. I know some people right now, friends that I know, who have been isolated from the body of Christ. They did it themselves, but as a result, they're not being fruitful, you know? And they probably would even agree with you on that, but it's like they've kind of, that even compounds their misery. It's like, yeah, I know, well, yeah, forget it, man. And they're just kind of down, that down thing, you know, that everybody stumbles on. Some people bounce back a little quicker than others. It might not show on your face, but every one of us goes through that down thing, okay? And because of that, because of being in sin, and, you know, you're isolated. And sin, though, you can't be afraid of that word. Because every one of us, you got to acknowledge it. And it doesn't mean that you're into, it doesn't have to be a heavy, you know, sometimes we think of, well, he's into sin, he can't even come to church. We think that maybe the guy went off the deep end and he's, you know, he's a pimp now or something like this, you know, so he can't even walk into church for a while. He's really into sin, he's drinking 2 quarts of whiskey a day. Or, you know, we always think of this thing. I'm talking about attitudes, too. Little tiny attitudes, man, can pull people right out of the body of Christ and they're gone. And then they're isolated. The devil's got them like on standby. He's got them on the bench. They don't even have to be on the bench. They've been called to active service. They put themselves on the inactive list. Okay? Matthew 11:28. And like I said, if you want to look them up, that's fine, because I'm going to have to too. Except I got my mark so I can get there quicker than you can. Matthew 11:28. This is Jesus, and he's been ministering to the multitudes. And this is one that, was confirmation to me today, gave me a little bit of encouragement. It's in the word of prophecy that Mike had in praise service. It says, come to me, this is Jesus speaking, come to me all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Okay, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And we can also go to Galatians 6:9. And Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. That's, I think, something that all of us get hit on. In your Christian walk, see, you run up against some trials, and you run up against some tough times, and you run up maybe against some sin in your life. some temptations, and sometimes it seems like a real long battle. You know, maybe you just can't shake it. It's a long battle, so we start getting tired. Okay, now that's another thing too, in warfare. You know, even in, out in the woods, out in the jungles. You ever watch any of these National Geographics? You know, like when the lion goes after the pack, he keeps chasing them and spotting them and this and that. Pretty quick, the one who falls victim is the one who gets tired. It could be because they're sick, could be because of a particular ailment, something like this. But somebody gets weary, and that's the one who gets it, right? I really think Satan works the same way. You know, he waits for Christians to get weary, and then their feelings get a little, their skin gets real thin when you get weary. And anybody can come and poke you the wrong way. And then you want to kill them. And then you want to leave, you know. And then you want to, and what it comes down to is finding a little hole, because you really don't want to go all the way through something, see. And it's pretty scary going, you know, if you had a particular sin, you know, Dean mentioned financial crisis, that's a big one. It's a lot easier for a lot of men when they have a family and a financial crisis, rather than going through it, it's a lot easier for them just to say goodbye. Boom, they're out the door. There's probably ladies in here who have experienced that. Their husbands probably just couldn't handle that pressure, you know. They couldn't see a way out. They couldn't go through it, okay. And this is not a slam on people. Remember that. This is an encouragement today in that. Everybody has those down times, but some people have a little faster recovery rate, you know. Some guys can bounce up real quick. Some guys, boom, they're down, come right back on their feet again. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're all that better of a Christian or all that better of a guy or got it any more together. They might be taking it to the Lord a little quicker, and they might have received a little bit of that suffering and joy, and also that you go on in a trial. You rejoice in the trial. That keeps your legs moving. It's a good thing to keep your legs moving. You get down on one knee, and you, boom, it's easy to go on two. Pretty quick, you're snoozing. You know, you're just out, you know. And when we keep ourselves, I really feel a lot of times, and I know this for myself, and I know my wife would agree because she used to do this a lot, but we keep ourselves a lot of time in that down state, in sin. We don't confess it. We don't confess it. We don't think we have to confess it. Whatever the case is, it doesn't get confessed. So we get into a down, quiet, silent, don't talk to anybody, keep away from them Christians kind of a thing. We withdraw a little bit, and we just get farther and farther away. And we think we're getting farther away from people, but that's not the thing. You're getting farther from God. God would have us to be with his people, you know. If you can't handle rubbing next with one another in here, man, you got that's something that the Lord's got to deal with. And every one of us has to go through that. Nobody can say, hey, I've got it together. No, I can handle any kind of person that walks through these doors, and I can minister to them and have instant love for them and really, you know, see their needs. And hey, come on, you know, nobody can do that. But when you take that to the Lord, you take those feelings to the Lord, he can redirect them. And Lord showed me too, as I was looking this up, that sometime when we keep ourselves in the dark, you know, it's like how many people have went to like a double feature, like a movie in the middle of the afternoon in the summer? Let's say you've been in a dark movie theater for 4 or 5 hours. When you come out and that sunlight hits your eyes, man, you can hardly even get in your car. I mean, you're just, you know, it's a little too much for your eyes for quite a while, right? That light gets you. And I think a lot of times when you hide yourself off like that and isolate yourself, then that light, boom, kind of stings at first sometimes. So people don't want to, they want to stay down in the old basement. You know, every so often you read in the paper about people that are in such fear that they've been robbed or something like this. They lock themselves up in their house, man, and they stay in there for years because the thought of that light, you know, walking out into the world is just too much for them because they stayed in there too long. Okay. Now, the thing is with the Lord, there is never a too long. There's never a too long with Jesus. You know, he can pull you out. You don't have to put that kind of limitation and say, well, I've been backslidden too long, or I've had too many, I copped an attitude on this thing for too many years, there's no way I can change now. Hey, you can change. just like that. And you'd be surprised the people that'll act like they never even noticed it. Oh, hi. Oh, hey, you're back to church. Oh, praise God. Good to have you on. Hey, come on, help me with this. And boom, come right back in, and you're right back into, you know, back into service. It's not a problem. We can read James 5:16. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Okay, I'm going to read that one more time. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Okay, when we're isolated, when we're putting ourselves back again in that corner by ourselves, and we're not confessing our sin with one another, and we're not asking for prayer, first of all, who's going to know to even pray for you, right? You got to make your needs known. I mean, I myself probably... I know for a fact I can't just look out there and say, well, Corey, I know what you need prayer for, brother, and just go into it, you know, I mean, and be that sensitive and be able to pull it out like that. You can pray in the Spirit for people, and the Lord will give you that burden. But it says the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So you need to confess your sins with one another. Okay, now that doesn't mean you can confess your flesh so you can find another buddy to crawl in the corner with you. How many people have done that? You've done that before? I've done that. You confess your flesh so you can get somebody else to crawl in the corner with you. You don't want to get free. You just would rather have some company in your dungeon. You know, right? You'd like to get somebody else to sit in the old dark basement with you. So your confession has to be to get free, to be healed. Okay? We got to remember that the Lord is on our side. See, He's not in opposition to us. When we sin, He doesn't immediately, like the old school teacher, you know, who finds a kid who gives the wrong answer, He doesn't, you know, back off like that. The Lord is on our side, and in those times is when He really wants you to reach out. See, it's easy for us to say praise God when things are rolling real good, and wow, man, yeah, my walk's been pretty good. I've been leading people to the Lord, and I've been ministering, and this and that, and I've been giving to myself, and I've been praying, and I've been trying to be a good friend or a good father, or whatever. It's easy to praise God when you think you're on a roll, but see, so many times it gets difficult through the hard time until you start crying out for God. You go through that cycle, and then you get way down on your knees, and it's time to cry out. Psalms 55:22. Go back to the Old Testament. This is just a quick one here. Psalms 55:22, it says, cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Okay, cast your burden upon Him and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. It says, never allow the righteous to be shaken. I thought to myself, well, how come people get shaken then? I think... We all get shaken, we all go through the times with these trials, but we all know that cast the burden upon the Lord. When you do that, you know that there's relief in sight, right? It might be down the road a little bit, but you're not shaken. See, you've got to remember this. We bail out on God. God doesn't bail out on us, okay? That's something you got to remember in your mind, and sometimes it's hard to admit that because you like to blame it on God, but we bail out on God. He doesn't bail out on us. And when we're going through that rough time, and, you know, if you picture yourself, man, you're in this car and you're going up and down these mountain roads and all of a sudden you look over and you think your co-pilot left you. He didn't leave you. He's there. See, if we were the co-pilot, hey, can you pull over for gas? Boom, you jump out, boom, you'd be gone. I mean, you'd want to get off that boat or that car, get out of that car real quick, right? We want to jump ship so much of the time. We want to jump ship. We think it's the easy way out. You know, it isn't the easy way out. The easy way is to go through it. You know, the easy way is to go through it. It really is. It might seem like the hardest way, but the easy way. How many people know that the truth, right at the get-go, the truth to one another is always the easiest way, right? When you lie, when you blah blah around, then you always dig yourself in a hole. yeah, Don, hey, you want to come over to my house next Sunday and blah, blah, this and that? And in the back of your mind, you're going, no, man, I don't want to go. I'll go. And you're saying, yeah. And then next Sunday comes and you remember that you said, yeah, and you don't want to go. So then you got to lie, right? Now, if you're right from the get-go, would have said, well, I really got something going. Let's reschedule it or something. It eliminates all of that. It eliminates all that friction we put ourselves through sometime. And another thing, remember, going back to 1 Corinthians now, he doesn't give us more than we can bear. So no matter how hard the trial is, that came into play in my life once, real heavy, about maybe it was 4 years ago. My brother, matter of fact, my other brother Eddie's here today, but our brother, Kenny, went through a real hard time, and he tried to commit suicide. And I heard it through a phone call, and I came home, and I heard, yeah, Kenny tried to commit suicide. He's in the intensive care ward. And I went, whoa, you know, just boom. And I thought, am I going to be able to handle this? You know, I got in my car, I was going to go down to the hospital. I thought, am I going to be able to handle this? And it came to mind, that scripture is, the Lord isn't going to give you anything that you can't handle. So I thought, okay, that was the absolute only hope I had because it came out of the blue on me so much. And I went down and got to share with him and got to lead him to the Lord in the intensive care unit. He was bitter and just hated the world and hated himself. And I couldn't believe this. I mean, here's your own brother right in front of you just wanting to chuck it, you know. I don't care. I'm going to do it again as soon as I get out. I'm going to kill myself again as soon as I get out. And you're just sitting there, yeah, where do you pull together the strength? You know, what kind of example do you pull together? And that scripture came to mind there and bailed me out as I knew that the Lord's not going to give me, it was my trial to handle it and see what I could do, but he had a real heavy trial. But I knew I was to become an active part as far as intercession, show him to the Lord, be a better brother, whatever I could do. And the Lord's done a work there too. He's done a lot better. And the Lord has showed me that, like, wow, you know, we get so used to just kind of rolling along and singing a song and side by side, you know, everything's just kind of a groove, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, somebody pulls a rug out from underneath you, man, and it makes you see what you're made out of. You know, most of the time you find out you're made out of Jell-O, you know. Without Jesus, you're made out of Jell-O. You know, you might be able to pull together some kind of fortitude and all this, you know, but you find out what you're made out of. And 1 John 1:9, this is a good one, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, we have to do our part. We have to confess our sins. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, that might sound a little harsh, but the Lord showed me, take it this way also. If you suppress your sin, or if you don't confess a sin, or if you cover it up, or if you just say, hey, I'm not in sin. This ain't sin. I don't care, you know, blah, blah. What you're doing then is you're kind of taking away, you are not allowing the Lord to release you on that thing. You're hanging on, see? He's going to set you free if you confess it. You confess that sin, he's going to set you free. If you hang on to it, don't acknowledge it, then in a way you kind of made God a liar because you're saying you're not a sinner on that subject now. Now, not in general. Every one of us probably have some little touchy spots in our walk or in our life where we can freely admit, get up here and say, yeah, I'm a sinner. Yeah, when it comes to this, yeah, I'm a sinner. Comes to this, yeah, I'm a sinner. Comes to this, I'm a sinner. But we might have, all of us probably got a few little spots we might kind of not want to say we're a sinner in that area. It could be a pride. It could be, just some things that we just wouldn't want to, we don't even want to admit to ourselves that are some of our old man characteristics that are still hanging in there. We want to hang on to them, you know. Could be anger. Maybe we got everything together, but we're angry. And when we get angry, we get angry. You know, I got a right to be, you know, maybe we hang on to that thing. It could be some particular thoughts. Well, I got everything together, but yeah, in this area I do kind of let my mind cruise off, but I'm not bothering anybody. So therefore, it ain't that bad. You know. See, you don't want to be cleansed there. So in that particular area, you probably disavow that you're a sinner. Sinners doesn't just mean that somebody else knows what you're doing, you know. A lot of times what's that old thing? If you get caught, that's the only way you get found out, you know. Well, as long as I don't get caught, I'm okay. Keep doing it. And then if I get caught, yeah, doggone, I got caught. And when the Lord really put this on my heart, on this particular scripture, when we don't confess sin or acknowledge sin, and that when we don't include that sin in the fact that we're all part of the body of Christ, okay? We're all part of the body. We're not, there's not like a Green Beret Christian group that you belong to. And then there's the Infantryman Christian group. And then over here there's the Secondhand Christian group. And we're all part of the body of Christ, okay? You're not like a solo Christian that's like a freelance. Well, I'm a freelance Christian. I don't have nothing to do with the body. I don't go to any church or nothing. I'm just a freelance Christian. There are those out there. I've met them. I met a couple guys. They're a nice guy, you know. Talk to them. Hey, yeah, the guy's lifting up the Lord. I said, what church do you go to? Well, brother, I just get into the Word at home. I've never went to a church since I've got saved. The Lord just kind of has me just kind of wander around and this and that. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know about that, but where he has you wandering around, you know, you're going to wander around and have some problems pretty quick because you're not being real effective, right? You got to get in there and work. It's just like work. What if you drifted around a job? What if you worked a different job every day? You know, every day you went down and maybe somebody's done it in here. Somebody who's worked the temporaries. Maybe times have been rough. You go down one day, they got you off shoveling snow in some lady's backyard. The next day you're putting together an assembly line for 8 hours, and the next day you're over. I mean, is it a very rewarding life? You know, you really feel rewarded, you know, flipping around like this? No way. You know, just like when we go to work. We've got some tradesmen here. We got a carpenter, you know, house builder Elliot. We got Dino as a painter, and we got some other tradesmen. My brother's kind of a car wash genius, you might say, and we got Randy's a jack of all trades. We got tradesmen here. Now, what if Dina went off one day and said, well, today, man, I just want a wallpaper, you know. Maybe they don't want no wallpaper, you know. Maybe they want him to paint the house, right? He's got to get involved and be consistent in the thing that he's been directed in. He cannot just be a freelancer and just go out and flit. And I think as a Christian, we really got to, it's a pride thing, because I was the same way. When I first came to the Lord, which was about 6.5 years ago, I accepted the Lord at Disciples Ministry out when they were out in the fields. And I liked the message. I liked Pastor Paul. I thought, yeah, wow. And, you know, I was receiving, and but I thought, man, Christians, oh, that's one thing I won't do is have no fellowship with them guys. And as soon as that message was done, boom, I was out the door. And you can ask Dino or anybody, you know, I was gone. I didn't want to go out and eat with him or nothing. I just thought, I'm going to come about a minute before the message, and I'm going to leave about a minute after. You know, and I did, that's what I did. Because I didn't want to have nothing to do with Christians, see? Because at the time, I didn't want to have nothing to, you know, I didn't know. Of course, I was a super babe Christian. But I didn't want to have nothing to do with the body of Christ because I saw them all in there and they're praising God and I thought, oh man, these guys, I don't want to be like one of them or robots and they're all doing this, praise God, you know, and all this kind of thing. And I really, really rebelled. You know, I really did. And the bottom line is, I didn't at the time, see, I was fighting being a member of the body of Christ. I would tell you if you saw me, if you said, well, are you born again? I'd say, yeah. But if you would have asked me, I don't think anybody did, but if somebody would have asked me, you know, well, are you a member of the body of Christ? Do you fellowship with the saints or something? I would have thought, yuck, don't even talk that kind of talk to me, you know. So the Lord really had to set me free on that. So if you tell a tale.